Good day, and welcome to the Ooredoo Group Q1 investor call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Andreas Goldau. Please go ahead, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marhaban bikum fi hadhihi al-mukallama. Hello, and welcome to Ooredoo's financial results call. My name is Andreas Goldau, and on behalf of the investor relations team, I thank you for joining this session. As part of today's discussion, I am pleased to introduce Waleed Al-Fayed, Deputy CEO of the Ooredoo Group and CEO of Ooredoo Qatar, Hans Kulbatwa from our strategy team, and Ajay Bakri, our Chief Financial Officer. We start with an overview of the group results. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com. Before we begin, a few necessary disclaimer points if you refer to slide number two. In course of today's discussion, we may make some forward-looking statements. These will be based on the information available to us as of today, and so you should not assume that in future we will continue to hold these views. As such, we do not commit to notify you if our views change. We therefore refer you to our public filings for some factors that may cause forward-looking statements to differ from actual future events or results. So to begin now, I will hand over to Waleed.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Thank you, Andreas. And welcome to everyone joining us today. Ooredoo has started the year on a strong foot, showing good signs of financial and operational progress across the majority of our operations. Our relentless focus on our digital strategy and continuous investment made throughout the years to deliver world-class infrastructure is paying dividends. We had very healthy level of customer growth across the board, with an increase of a total customer base of 26%, now reaching 149 million customers, driven by strong growth across major markets. Financially, Ooredoo generated solid results. Excluding foreign exchange impact, revenue would have been up 3% across the business instead of reported 2%, exceeding our guidance. We had good revenue growth in the majority of our markets. In terms of EBITDA, we have also exceeded our guidance for quarter one 2017. I am pleased to say that a strong hand on operations, efficiency, and cost synergies derived from group sourcing have enabled us to deliver a strong EBITDA of QAR 3.4 billion and an improved EBITDA margin of 43%. Due to a significant foreign exchange gain in the first quarter of 2016, our net profit for the first 3 months of 2017 is down. However, excluding the foreign exchange gain last year, net profit was up by 3%, which is healthy growth for the first quarter of the year. A highlight of the quarter is Ooredoo Maldives finalized plan to list on the local stock exchange in just a few days from now. On April 30th, Ooredoo Maldives will offer up to 40% of their company to local and international investors, and we are pleased to invite them to be part of our Ooredoo growth story. With this now, I'd like to hand over to our Group CFO, Mr. Ajay Bakri, to give you a glimpse of our financial for the first quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Waleed. Let's move on to slide number five. We performed well across several of our operations and delivered growth in revenue and EBITDA, reflecting the progress that has been made across the group. Once again, our operations in Qatar and Indonesia demonstrated significant growth in the group and remain our core revenue generators, each accounting for 25% of total revenue. Group revenue was up 2% to 8 billion Qatari riyals. In local currency terms, we have seen growth across our key markets in Qatar, Indonesia, Oman, Tunisia, Myanmar, and Maldives. On the back of several cost initiatives and operational efficiencies, EBITDA showed a growth of 8% to 3.4 billion reais, and the EBITDA margin was healthy at 43%. Moving on to the next slide. I explained earlier that net profit was impacted by a foreign exchange gain of 380 million reais in Q1 of 2016, which led to a year-on-year decline of 34%. Excluding the foreign exchange impact, we produced a 3% net profit growth year-on-year. Net debt declined to 28.8 billion reais as compared to Q1 2016, but remained in line with the last quarter. And our net debt to EBITDA ratio improved to 2 times, which is right in the middle of our long-term guidance of between 1.5 and 2.5 times. Moving on to the next slide, let's take a look at free cash flow and capex. We maintained a healthy level of free cash flow at 2 billion reais, an increase of 4% from the same period last year. Consequently, our capex to revenue ratio continued to decrease to 9% in Q1 2017 compared to 14% in Q1 2016. As explained last quarter, the decrease is due to the lower level of capex on a year-to-year basis, as we have now largely finished the heavy lifting of network investments of the past few years. CapEx was reduced through cost synergies derived from our global sourcing program and group economies of scale. Historically, CapEx to sales starts low in Q1 and builds up over the course of the year. Next slide, please. Slide number 8. We can see further reduction in total group debt, which now stands at 41.6 billion reals. Group debt remains mainly at a corporate level, largely in Qatar, followed by Indonesia, and then a small percentage allocated to the other opcos. Debt at the opco level is kept primarily in local currency. Slide 9, debt profile. We continue to manage our debt profile conservatively, and I'm pleased to report we have a well-balanced long-term debt profile in terms of both instruments and timing. For this year, there are no upcoming debt maturities. The next due bond is a Sukuk, maturing in December 2018, like 10 total customers. Our relentless focus on customer centricity, smart marketing strategies and network quality, and upgrade solutions support our growth. As you can see on slide 10, we've achieved an excellent growth of 26% in our customer base, and we are now probably serving almost 150 million customers. Growth was supported by new additions in Indonesia, Myanmar, Iraq, Oman, Algeria, Tunisia, and Qatar. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 11. We seem to have exceeded our estimates for revenue and EBITDA growth, reflecting the significant efforts put by the team to increase business profitability and efficiency. CapEx is below guidance levels and 32% lower than Q1 2016. As mentioned, we are seeing lower levels of CapEx on a year-to-year basis because we have now largely finished the heavy lifting of network investments for the past few years and the benefits of our improved sourcing strategy. Slide number 12, Maldives IPO. As part of a license agreement, ADD Maldives is preparing an IPO on the stock exchange in Maldives. The offer opening date is April 30th, and we expect to close the offer by May 28th. The initial offer is for 15% of the issued ordinary shares, though ADD will meet any demand of shares up to the maximum offer of 40% of the issued ordinary shares of the company. The offer price of Maldivian rupee 30 per share values the company at approximately $286 million. Looking forward to the IPO since its launch in 2005, Maldives has developed into a more significant member of the group and generated good returns. The company has also helped to transform the telecommunication industry in the Maldives with significant investment in both infrastructure and technology. The quarter invites local and international investors to be part of the Indian Oil's solid growth story and to benefit from a compelling investment opportunity. The company is conducting investor roadshows in Maldives and can be available for conference calls. To view the IPO prospectus and further information on the IPO, we invite you to visit the IPO website on the link provided on this slide or contact the local IR officer. Moving on to operational performance of the subsidiaries and Qatar. Slide 14, Qatar. We produced positive results in our home market in Qatar, underpinned by growth in our fixed-line business and growth in customer numbers. Revenues were up 2% and EBITDA was up 9% as a result of cost efficiencies. An important development in the first 3 months of the year was the launch of our 4.5G Pro network in February. We are the first operator in the ADV group, first operator in the Middle East, and most importantly, one of the first operators in the world to offer this breakthrough technology, which increases mobile data speeds to up to 800 megabits per second. In addition, we launched 10 Gbps fiber services in selected areas of Doha in March. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was up 1%. EBITDA margin increased from 39 to 50%. ARPU was slightly down due to seasonality and commercial activity. Moving on to the next slide, Indonesia. Indosat Ooredoo had a great first quarter with a 37% increase in customer numbers, now reaching 96 million customers across the island. Revenue was up 8% and EBITDA was up 6%, supported by growth in our cellular business, MIDI business, and improved operational performance. Results were also supported by stable currency movements and lower foreign exchange denominated debt. Quarter 4 to quarter 1 revenue was down 5% due to seasonality. Quarter 4 is generally the strongest quarter in Indonesia. EBITDA margin was slightly down at 45% due to certain one-off provisions in the quarter. ARPU was impacted by seasonality and also by the increasing customer base by 12%. Moving on to the next slide, Iraq. Customer growth in Iraq was supported by new additions in liberated areas. We increased customer numbers by 13% and now reach 12 million. Thanks to our efficiency program and tight cost control, we maintained a healthy EBITDA margin of 45%. However, Asiacell's overall financial performance was impacted by FX depreciation, a reduction in interconnect rates, and an intense price competition. In spite of this, we are maintaining our competitive position and believe Asiacell is well placed to capture market value once the security situation improves further. Quarter 2 to quarter 1, revenue was stable and EBITDA margins improved from 43.7 to 45.2% due to lower costs. ARPU was slightly lower as a result of increase in customer base. Next slide, please. Oman delivered healthy growth in revenue and customer numbers due to a higher customer acquisition cost, EBITDA was negatively impacted and decreased 1%. All the EBITDA margins remain at a strong 53%. During the quarter, we've had a couple of management changes. Ian Dent joined from Ooredoo Group headquarters as the new Ooredoo Oman CEO, and Abdul Razak was promoted as the CFO. Quarter 4 to quarter 1 revenues were down about 1% due to seasonality. EBITDA margin improved from 50 to 53%. Quarter 4 had certain year-end provisions. ARPU decline was generally because of higher customer base and seasonality. Slide 18, Kuwait. Ooredoo Kuwait saw a decline in revenue of 6% to 570 million riyals due to fierce competition and lower recurring revenues for postpaid and prepaid services. Although we operate in a highly competitive market, I'm pleased to say that a strong cost focus and focus on handset subsidies supported our results. resulting in a growth of 20% EBITDA year-on-year and an improved EBITDA margin of 26%. Sequentially, though, EBITDA margin dropped, impacted by lower revenues due to competition. We will continue to focus on cost-saving initiatives to support lower OPEX and maintain EBITDA margin. Moving on to the next slide, Algeria. As you can see, our financial performance continues to be impacted by negative foreign exchange trends, increasing general VAT from 17 to 19%, and increasing data services VAT from 7 to 19% has impacted results. These external factors have put pressure on revenues. However, we are pleased to report that our ongoing cost optimization initiatives and the discontinuation of intensive transfer subsidies are offsetting revenue decline. With improvements in gross margin and a decline in OPEX, EBITDA margin significantly improved from 38% in Q1 2016 to 45% this quarter. Operationally, we are in a strong position. 4G service rollout is progressing well, and Ooredoo Algeria now has the widest 4G geographical footprint among the three operators. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was down 2.5% primarily because of the implementation of the VAT, which I just referred to. The EBITDA margin improved significantly to move to 45%. ARPUs are slightly down as a result of the VAT. Next slide, please. Tunisia. Ooredoo Tunisia remained very competitive in the first 3 months of the year, reaffirming its return to growth. Revenues were up 5% in local currency terms. Mobile data revenue saw an impressive increase of 33%, and the tight control and cost for EBITDA margins increased to 38% from 34%. We're also pleased to report that Tunisia stabilized its market leadership position despite the challenges in the operating environment. The country is still suffering from a slowdown in tourism and depreciation of the Tunisian dinar. We continue to pursue our strategy of data focus by investing in advanced technologies. We're expanding our LTE sites deployed by end of March 2017. Data remains a key contributor to our revenues. Q4 to Q1, revenues were impacted by seasonality and lower roaming revenues, about 11% decline. And EBITDA margin was also impacted as a result of lower revenues. ARPUs also were impacted due to seasonality between Q4 and Q1. Slide 20, Myanmar. Next slide on Myanmar, you can see that Ooredoo Myanmar has returned to positive EBITDA margin, supported by gross margin expansion and tight cost control. Revenue is up by 5% in local currency terms, driven by growth in data, B2B, and value-added services. We continue to see a negative impact from the depreciation of the Myanmar card, and the market remains very competitive. Operationally, we're now covering the vast majority of the population, which puts us in a good competitive position ahead of the fourth operator entry to the market end of this year or early next year. Customer base is up by an impressive 35% to 9.3 million customers, and we're in a good position to continue to capture our market share in the coming quarters. Quarter four to quarter one, there is decline in revenue, primarily because of intense competition on the data side. Customers were up 4%, and EBITDA margin from a negative 1% moved to positive 6%. The ARPU was impacted by the competition in data pricing. With that, I'll hand you back to Andreas. Mm-hmm.
Before we start with the Q&A part, one request from the IR team. The Middle Eastern IR Society, in cooperation with EXO, is conducting a survey among investors and analysts on investor relations for listed companies. Sarah and myself, the IR team at Ooredoo, always appreciate your feedback, and on this occasion, especially your vote. The details on how to participate are on this slide. Many thanks in advance, and now I hand over to the operator. Alison, will you now please explain to the participants how to ask questions?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We'll take our first question from Maddie Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the call. Just a few questions. Firstly, on Algeria, there seems to be a very strong margin in the first quarter. So I was wondering whether there is any one-off included there. Also, in Indonesia, what do you think of the result? Are you happy with the performance, or there's some you could have done better there? Because it, versus my expectation, numbers were slightly below in Indonesia. So I'm just wondering what happened there, especially quarter-on-quarter performance I'm talking about. Thank you.
As far as you just confirmed, the improvement in EBITDA margin is a combination of two things. One, of course, like I mentioned, is the cost efficiency, which is a key focus for the group. And also, I would say that half the improvement comes from lower handset subsidies as well, which were the feature of the market earlier, and we're looking at alternate ways of customer acquisition. So I would say no big one-offs. If the trends in the market continue, then the handset subsidy doesn't come back, so one can expect similar performance in the coming quarters as well. For Indonesia, Indonesia results, we are satisfied with the results. I don't think any, we got unduly concerned. Quarter-on-quarter growth, normally Q1 is a slower quarter for Indonesia historically. So we're not too concerned about that. Of course, the competition in the market has increased in recent times. But that is the future of the market in any case.
But in general, we are so happy about Indonesia because last year they had very strong performance, and this year we are pretty sure that they are going to continue this strong performance going forward. This is one of our main investments that we are focusing to deliver on. And frankly saying that we are so happy about the performance of Indonesia.
Thank you. In terms of the market structure in Indonesia, do you see any change likely there, or do you think the current number of players and positions will remain as it is right now?
This subject has been discussed now for several years. We don't see that there will be any. We think that consolidation is a very good approach there in Indonesia, but we don't see that any movement towards that. In fact, sometimes also the incumbent has the power to slow down these things, like, for example, network sharing. It didn't go through because of incumbent pressure on this one. But however, that what we see that the one that is going to survive only the top players, mainly Telkomsel, Ooredoo, and Excel. Our operation is doing very, very well at the moment. We are going to definitely expand outside Java, and we are going to deliver on strong performance for the years to come.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Waleed Belaha from Barclays.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. I just have three questions, if I may. The one is regarding the margin improvement. We saw margin improvement across actually most of your markets, including ones where you had some headwinds like Kuwait. Is it all related in all of these markets to a new policy of lower handset subsidies, or are there some exceptions? The second question is I wanted to ask whether you see any of your of the countries where you operate where we could see some headwinds for the rest of the year, whether it's related to new entry of a competitor or tax-related headwinds? And lastly, given you've exceeded already your expectations for EBITDA growth for Q1, why not updating your guidance for the full year? Do you expect the margin that you recorded so far to remain stable or to reduce?
I'll answer the first one. As we said, it's based on three different things. Lower handset subsidy, definitely, but not in all the market, but mainly in majorities of our market. Cost control is something that, and improving efficiency is a very important subject for us, and we have been delivering on this for the past few years. And definitely the sourcing, the strategic sourcing, and we started to, buy equipment in a much better prices, leveraging the scale and the volume that you have in the group.
As far as the headwinds are concerned, I think in terms of competition, Myanmar, as you're aware, has awarded the fourth license, and that's likely to the fourth operator is likely to implement end of the year or beginning of next year. In Oman, the third license process is ongoing, so we are waiting for the government to take a decision on that. Now, apart from that, in terms of taxes, a lot of new taxes have already been implemented. A couple of examples of that, one is in Algeria, where the VAT was introduced this year. So, increase actually, it was already there, increase the data from 7% to 19%, and from 17% to 19% for the Wi-Fi. In case of Oman, the royalties have increased from 7% to 12%, so has the income tax for corporates from 12% to 15%. So some of these changes have already taken place. We are not aware, I think, of any other change in the pipeline, but if anything else comes, but of course, it will be in public domain. As far as the growth, EBITDA growth and update of guidance is concerned, as a policy, we give guidance in the beginning of the year and show you results. The important thing to update guidance on a quarterly basis is a matter of policy.
Thank you. So just to understand well, the EBITDA margin that you have reached in Q1, do you see it as sustainable? Or do you expect it to normalize at a lower level?
The EBITDA margin is a combination of all the factors which were mentioned by Mr. Lee, which include something in our control, which is the cost control and strategic sourcing. There's sometimes market dynamics, which really depends on the competition also. So to that extent, that variability is possible. But definitely the cost control and strategic sourcing benefits are sustainable going forward.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Karim Riyad from EFG Hermes.
Hello, gentlemen. Just two questions from my side. Most of my questions were answered on the call, but if you could just give us a view on the Qatari market, and do you consider competition have gotten stronger over the past few quarters? Second question is on Maldives. What will the proceeds of the IPO be used for? Thank you.
In Qatari market, I think we have very strong competition. I mean, we are this is the market where we play again as one of the world leading telco. But however, I think both parties are very creative and providing the best prices and the best value for the prices here in Qatar. And the market is over-penetrated because, the both players, they have distinguished services to their customers. Ooredoo has been, playing a very big role here in Qatar for being a pioneer and the leading telco by providing them the best product and by digitizing our services to our customer and by providing cutting-edge services and technologies here in Qatar. And that's why we believe that the Qatar is one of the world leading in terms of the latest telecommunication services in the world. And the network quality, in fact, is one of the best among, if it is not the best ever, on the world itself. So we think that very good competition, two very professional companies are working in the country, and the customer is the main gainer of this competition.
As far as the Maldives is concerned, this is not a primary offering, it's a secondary offering. That means that the parent company, which is MMTC, eventually based in Kuwait, will get the proceeds of the IPO. And then as part of the normal process end of the year, one would assess the requirement of investment of the group, MMTC group, and also the potential of dividend and balance out return to shareholders against investment against growth.
I'm sorry, Ajay, how much are the proceeds?
Well, the proceeds we know once the IPO finishes. It could be up to 40% of the listed company, but we started 15%, and the valuation is about $286 million for 100% of the company. So you can run the numbers. So based on that, we will, of course, get the proceeds part of the MNTC group. It is not meant for Maldives operation. It's a secondary sale. And then MNTC group at end of the year will look at the cash flows available there, and like they normally does, consider either investing the funds in the group or consider dividends. So it will be a business as usual decision end of the year.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mark Amoud from Deutsche Bank.
Good afternoon, gents. My question just got asked on the Maldives, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Our next question is from Nishit Lakhotia from SECO.
Yes, I have two questions. One on the Kuwait operations. You said the competitive situation is pretty aggressive in Kuwait. Although the handset subsidies seems to be coming off, if you can, give us some color as to whether it is Ooredoo which is leading the competition in terms of aggressive offers, because we see some level of taper down in terms of the prepaid pricing, at least very similar pricing in the market. So, but now Ooredoo seems to be a bit more aggressive there. So, what's the strategy in Kuwait in terms of the competitive environment currently? And the next question is on Myanmar. We've seen the revenue growth almost flattening out, and still one more operator coming in the market. With this, does it change your original plans in terms of the growth that you had forecasted when you had gone for this operations and this fourth operator and the way the market is developing? Is it going to be, is it something of a major concern for you in such a market where the revenue is really not shown that level of growth? Thank you.
Okay, on Kuwait, I'll answer the Kuwaiti one, and then Ajay will answer the Maldives. And Kuwait, stating that Ooredoo is the leader for the price war is a complete wrong statement, unfortunately, and misleading also. But in fact, Ooredoo was the most company who has suffered from the price competition in Kuwait, and it loses its second position in the market because of that. However, and we have not been, responding to the price war on time, on the hope that the other player will play rational and will price the product on a basis that makes sense for both customers and the company. However, finally, we decided to react, and we cannot wait more than that because we are the most company that was leading in the market. And now Ooredoo is playing Russian and trying to put the price against the product that makes sense, that both company and the customer will gain from this market. However, if one of the operators will try to start to reduce the prices in a way that it will hurt Ooredoo, Ooredoo is not going to keep silent anymore, and it will go and move very fast and forward and provide very aggressive offer in the market. This is the message that we have been trying to send to the other operators. I believe that now the story is loud and clear. And in fact, handset subsidy is not 100% gone away. Still, it's there. You can see that before 2-3 days, there was very aggressive offering of the postpaid by giving 2 handsets and 3 ETR members by then. And Ooredoo had to react to this move by providing the same offering, but at a little bit at a lower price, so that the competitors, they understand that we are not going to tolerate the situation anymore.
As far as the growth is concerned, you're right, competition has intensified on the data side, and the growth is not as it was earlier in the market. However, as far as our plans are concerned, the growth of the first couple of years was much faster than we'd initially anticipated. So that kind of balances out, to some extent, our medium-term plan. And of course, with the fourth operator coming in, the dynamics are expected to change, and our business plans and budgets take that into account.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ziad Itani from Aquam Capital.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions from my end, actually. First of all, looking at the financials, we can see that this is the second quarter where we've seen a substantial decline in payables, close to Qatari riyal 1.9 billion. If we can know from which market, or is this specific to any supplier? Second question is on Iraq. Basically, how many base stations are back online, and roughly what's the percentage of the total? And also, we've seen in the financials that you had close to Qatari riyal 440 million in land from one of the local banks over there in exchange of an equivalent amount of cash. Does this mean that in the future you're not very confident of getting the money out of Iraq? Thank you.
Okay, as far as the payables are concerned, you will have noticed that in quarter four of last year, there was an acceleration of CapEx deployment, and that meant the payables also went up. A lot of those payables were settled in Q1 as a matter of timing. A lot of that came from Myanmar as well, where a lot of CapEx deployment happened. But it was generally across the board in most of the locations where the payables were settled in Q1. As far as the number of base stations is concerned, I don't think we have given any information about that. But what we can say is that as areas are getting liberated, we are going back in those areas and getting a network back in operation over there, especially in Mosul now, which is slowly getting liberation in certain parts of the city. As far as the purchase of land is concerned, that was a proactive move on part of the company, which was done to mitigate any risk related to a specific bank, which of course has worked in our favor. Having said that, the country itself still is not out of trouble, although one does see some improvement on the political side. And the economic side is linked to the oil prices, which are also more stable than where they were, say, 1 year back. So the indications are positive, and all this eventually plays into the economy and the banking system as well. I would say we are in a better place today compared to where we were 1 year back, although there's still a lot of stress in the banking system. We are hoping that with this change of political and economic situation, things will hopefully improve going forward.
Okay, thank you. Actually, one follow-up question on Indonesia. How are you responding to XL Axiata, which has been constantly cutting prices on data? And obviously, the market has been feeling ARPU pressure from that side. And you think there is more downside risk on that front?
I think it's normal to respond to competition and price cuts happen for customer retention and growth. You can see we are having healthy growth of customers, which confirms that we are competitive in the market in terms of pricing. And pricing is one of the elements of quality of network and service also plays into that. So the fact that prices are going down for data is also linked to the spread of 4G services, which is more cost efficient in terms of deploying data. So part of that decrease is offset by deploying more 4G.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one if you would like to ask a question over the audio. And we pause for a moment to see if any more questions are signaled. We have another question from Zohab Pervez.
We can take one question via the audio webcast.
I just read that out. There's a question from Ashish from ADF Securities, and he's asking, with the competitive environment, is there more room for further cost control?
Of course, there's always room for more efficiency. As a CFO, I would say it never ends, but there's always continuous improvement. Having said that, we are not seeing revenue decline across the board. In fact, we are seeing revenue growth in a lot of markets as well, which is a positive sign. But the focus on cost will be relentless, and the benefits of good sourcing, which Mr. Waleed referred to, is also going to enhance some of the efficiencies going forward.
But also, I'd like to add, yes, you are absolutely right. There is a big chunk of this can be done by digitizing our services, which is something, one of the biggest projects that we are working on. It starts from Qatar with Digital Universe, where we are transforming all our touch points with the customer to be digitized through their smartphone or tabloid or whatever other means, which is going to lead in the coming 2 years for lots of cost reduction and also lots of optimization. But at the same time, it's also going to open new horizon for making business with the customer, because it will be much easier and faster for them to interact with us.
Great. Operator, do we have any other questions?
We do have a question from Zohab Pervez from Al Rayan Investment.
Good afternoon. Actually, this is Akbar Khan from Red Investment. Sorry, and I apologize if these questions have been asked earlier. The line isn't very clear. Did you give guidance for CapEx for 2017 and 2018? And if not, could you? Let me ask that first.
So the guidance we've given is given on slide number 11. 5.5 billion to 6.5 billion reals is the guidance for 2017. And we don't give guidance 2 years ahead, so it's only for 17, not for 18.
And you're given that you've spent only 700 million in the first quarter, you're still happy with the 5.5 to 6.5?
Well, like I mentioned, normally the capex spend picks up as the year progresses and generally peaks in Q4. So I would say one should expect a higher level of traffic spend in the coming quarters. Very often, the commitments can happen in the earlier quarters, which means the orders are raised. The actual deployment happens in the quarters, in the coming quarters.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is just about currencies. Can you update us on the hedges, to what extent you have hedged your currencies for 2017?
The investment itself is not hedged, but in local operations where they have liabilities in foreign currency, they have hedging policies in place. Of the countries where we have some risk, most of the local currency borrowings are in local currency itself, local operational borrowings. They're not in dollar denominated except for Myanmar. So that risk is substantially reduced in most of the operations there.
Okay, so if there are, but in terms of exposure to the translation impact of currencies in, say, Indonesia or Iraq or wherever, you are exposed to the volatility in the currencies on the, when translating your profits back.
That's the translation of the investment itself is not helped, because that's the whole idea of investing in these countries to take that risk. And if you have it, it's cost prohibitive in any case. What is helped normally is certain cash flows which are absolutely clear. If you have to make a payment to a vendor dollar-based, then you would hedge it at the time when it's clear the payment is to be made. If you have to repay a loan in dollars, you would hedge that. That's in countries where such instruments are available. A lot of countries, such instruments are not available. Then you buy foreign exchange on spot.
Thank you very much.
Our next question, a follow-up question from Karim Riyad from EFG Hermes.
Thank you. One follow-up question from my side, please. If you could please just give us an update on the establishment of the regulator in Kuwait, and when do you think they will apply some price floors into the market? Thank you.
I don't think there is any new things to be said about this. As we said in the last quarter, the regulator in Kuwait is newly established. There are continuous discussions between the ministry and the regulatory body for transferring clarifying the responsibility of both parties. I think they are working on it very hard, but we haven't heard new things yet. When we know more information, we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Our final question comes from the line of Eric Chang from HSBC.
Hi, I just want to come back to Algerians' operate strong margin improvement. You mentioned it was due to two factors. One is cost efficiency.
Add 30 minutes.
Hello?
So you mentioned
that the strong margin improvement is due to two things. One is cost efficiency. The other one is lower handset subsidies. Could you perhaps give examples of cost efficiency? And Ajay, you mentioned that with your handset subsidies, you're looking at an alternative customer acquisition strategy. Could you perhaps give more details?
Okay, as far as other items apart from handset subsidies concerned, it goes across all the lines of OPEX, whether it's general admin or network maintenance on the IT side. So to some extent, we've done some good procurement as far as network and IT is concerned. The benefit of those negotiations go across the board to all companies, including Algeria as well. Optimization of spend on marketing is another line item which is looked at very carefully. So I would say about half of the benefits has come from handset subsidies, the other half from cost optimization. Customer acquisition, as you're aware, can be done in various ways. Price is one of the levers, handset subsidies, another lever quality, another lever promotion, the other. It's a combination of different levers that you use for a different segment of the market. And right now, the other levers are being looked at to competitively price other products and also bundling products at times.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes today's question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for joining today's call. Please refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for additional updates. Follow us on Twitter at OoredooIR. Or feel free to contact the Investor Relations team for further information. We look forward to your future participation in our next update, probably on July 26th. Please do remember the Excel vote, and thank you very much for your continued interest in Ooredoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.